Lord has laid a word on my heart this morning for our service. And I just, as we were singing and worshiping the Lord, I just felt even confirmation in my heart that I'm on the right track. If you have your Bible and would like to share what the Lord has placed on my heart, I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28. And we'll read verse 28 through verse number 30. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through the 30th verse. While you're turning there, let me just make mention real quick. Remember that there is Cowboy Church tonight at New Life Christian Center at 6 o'clock. So if you have opportunity to be there, I'm sure that you would enjoy yourself. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28. And we are, I said this last week, we're reading in the red. That means we're reading the words of Jesus. And Jesus says in that 28th verse, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And I'll just ask you to bow your heads. We're going to cease reading right there. Let us pray. Jesus, my Lord, we come into your presence this morning with a very grateful and a very thankful heart. We thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit that we have sensed as we have worshiped and sang, and we thank you, Lord, for the promise that when we gather in your name, you are here in our midst. This morning, Father, we come now to the reading of your word, and Lord, I would ask this morning that you would add a blessing to the reading of your word by anointing me with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I would pray that you would inspire my thoughts, that you would have me speak what you would have me to say. Bless me and give me divine capability. In my own self, I am inadequate. But if you will touch me and bless me to be a blessing to others, then I know, Heavenly Father, your work will be accomplished. I ask right now, Lord, give me liberty in the house of God. Inspire my mind, my thoughts, and empower what is spoken. Let Jesus Christ be glorified, and let the church of God be edified. And Lord, for all of these things, we will be eternally grateful. And we thank you for them now, and we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. And everyone in agreement said amen. I want to title what the Lord has laid upon my heart, "How to Handle What's Troubling You." How to handle what's troubling you. I want to begin this morning by sharing with you a story that I read in an article several weeks ago. It's amazing sometimes to me how God can use certain things to speak to our heart. But several weeks ago, I read an article. In the late 1800s, there was a young woman who was traveling through the bitter cold of western Montana. She and her little six-month-old baby. Of course, in the late 1800s, stagecoach was the travel of choice. And when they had set out on their journey, they were not expecting severe weather, but now too far along on the journey to turn back, the weather had suddenly and unexpectedly taken a change for the worse. The temperatures plummeted to well below zero, and they were still miles from their final destination. In spite of all of the efforts that the driver took to protect her and the child from the elements, As they traveled along, he looked over and he would see the young mother, and he could tell that she was becoming unconscious and unresponsive because of the cold. With the limited amount of blankets that they had, the mother had sacrificed her own comfort for the comfort of her child, and she had wrapped the baby to stay warm, and she herself was literally freezing to death as they made their way along the trail. The driver, realizing that if something didn't happen and if something wasn't done, she would lose her life. And so he stopped the stagecoach and he took the baby from her arms and wrapped the child in the blankets and laid the baby up underneath the seat. And he took the mother by the arm and he pulled her out of the stagecoach and put her on the ground. And then he climbed back in the driver's seat and he took off, leaving her there in a heap in the snow. Amen. As the young mother looked up, she saw them driving away and she found herself left with two options. She could either give up and give in to the circumstances that she found herself in, or she could somehow find it in her spirit to rise up and chase after them. So with all of the strength that she could muster, she stood to her feet and began running after them, mournfully crying after her child. They had gone some ways when the driver continued to check back and look on her, and when he felt like she was sufficiently warmed up from her physical exertion, he let her slowly gain ground and catch up with the stagecoach. And he let her take her place back on the stagecoach with her baby. And you may be thinking this morning, Pastor Gary, that's so inhumane and that is so insensitive. But the reality is, his actions saved her life. You may be thinking this morning that's really drastic and that's incredibly cruel and awful. But the reality is, amen, that if you really stop and think about it, in the long run, the truth is the driver, by forcing her to face the difficult circumstances of being left behind, he saved her life. Understand this morning that the driver actually had no intention of leaving her behind, but he realized that if he could convince her that he was leaving, and if she realized the severity of the circumstances, she would do one of two things. She would either give up or get up. Hello? She would either give up or get up. And I said a few moments ago, it's amazing what the Lord can use sometime to speak to our hearts. When I read that article, the Holy Spirit began to talk to my heart and began to speak to my heart, because the truth of the matter is there is a spiritual parallel locked up in that little story. You see, the stagecoach driver did exactly what God does sometimes in our life, to shake us up and wake us up from our spiritual lethargy. The driver did exactly what God sometimes does in our life, to wake us up from our cold and our indifferent spiritual slumber. Pastor Gary, what do you mean? I'm saying this morning, amen, that it is like the stagecoach driver. There are times in our life that God will allow circumstances and situations to arise in our life that seemingly knock us to our knees. There are times that he will allow our faith and our devotion to be tested and tried. And there are times that he will allow trouble and circumstances to challenge us. Amen. Even to the point of discouragement. But he does so because he desires for us to realize that we have two choices. We can either give up or get up. We can either get up. Let me tell you this morning, when the devil knocks you down, amen, and tries to walk all over you, you got two options. You can let him walk on you, or you can get up in the anointing of the Lord and go forward with God. We all know that trouble, trials, hardships, testings, they are all a part of our human experience. It's true that trouble and circumstances and hardships and trials and challenges come into our life. They are a very factual part of living. Chapter 14, verse 1. This is what Job said. He said, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." It's true. Job said in Job chapter 5 and verse 7, he said, "Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." Amen. What he was saying was, just as surely as the sparks fly up from the campfire, so trouble is going to come to our lives. Heartache and trouble we are going to experience. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 16 and verse number 33. He said, "In this world you will have tribulation." But thank God that ain't where he stopped, because he went on to say, "But be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world." Amen. Understand, in this world you're going to have tribulation. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, Peter said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." What Peter is saying is, don't be shocked when you are faced with fiery trials and uncomfortable circumstances. Don't be shocked when burdens and troubles come calling at your front door. We always think that it's the other guy, but I got news for you this morning. There are times and places when trouble knocks on our heart. Don't be surprised when trials and difficulties come your way. It is a given. But what is not a given is what we do about the trials and the troubles that come our way. We have a choice in that matter. Amen. We can give up or get up. We have a choice in that matter. Let me ask you this morning, what do you do when trials come into your life? Do we sit idly by until our spirit man becomes frozen, or do we rise up and follow hard after God? What do we do when we feel like giving in and we feel like giving up? How do we handle the trouble that is handling us? What do we do with the trouble that comes our way? Here in our text this morning, Jesus gives us a clear and vital teaching concerning what we ought to do with the burdens that come into our life. None of us are exempt from burdens. None of us are exempt from trials. None of us are exempt from being tempted to be discouraged. It's going to come. But what we do about it matters. What we do about it matters. And here Jesus gives us an answer to what we can do. I want to turn this morning to our text. We have all heard this text at one time or another before. Let me just give you historical and scriptural context to the verses. Understand that the context that Jesus is telling a group of people who were being spiritually stifled by the law, that he had come to give them a better way. Understand that the scribes and the Pharisees had added their rules and their regulations to the law until the point that the law of God had become such a burden that the people were spiritually dying underneath it, underneath the weight of its regulations and the weight of its rules. Amen. There are 613 biblical laws in the Torah. Amen. The Torah being Genesis to Deuteronomy. There are 316 thou shalt and thou shalt not. But let me just tell you that the scribes and the Pharisees took the 613 thou shalt and thou shalt not, and they added their regulations and their rules to it. This is what we think that it means to keep the thou shalt, and this is what we think that it means to keep the thou shalt not. And they just added regulation upon regulation and rule upon rule until the weight of the law had become such a burden to the people that they could barely make it underneath it. From the time that they woke up in the morning until the time that they put their feet back in the bed, it was one rule and one regulation right after another, trying to fulfill the mandates of the law. And they were weary. They were frozen to death. They were frozen to death, if you will. They were weary underneath that burden. And Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, all of you who are trying to keep all of these regulations and all of these rules, come unto me and I will give you rest." Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart. And he said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen. There ain't all of these lists of thou shalt and shalt nots and all that stuff. Just give your heart to me and fall in love with me, and my grace will be sufficient for you. Hello? So understand the context. In the midst of all of these heavy burdens and regulations, Jesus steps forward and says, "Come unto me." Let me just tell you here this morning, if you are weighted down with a burden in your life, there is a Savior this morning that can come into your heart, come into your life, and say, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Amen. Jesus teaches us in these verses how to handle what's troubling our hearts. He speaks to them about what was troubling their heart. No, I want to speak with you this morning about what's troubling your heart. The first thing that I believe the text teaches us is that we need to take our burdens and our troubles to the right place. Everybody say, the right place. If you are here this morning and you are discouraged, if you are here this morning and you are going through the fire, if you are being tried, if you are being tested, amen, then I just want you to know the first thing that I believe that the scripture teaches us is that we need to take our burden to the right place. And that is said easier than it is done at some time. Let me share with you what I mean. I got to thinking about taking our burdens to the right place, and I realized that often we ourselves take our burdens every place or everywhere but to the throne of God. Hello? We often take our burdens to a place of worry. In fact, I submit to you this morning that the majority of people, when trials come and when testings come and when tribulation, the first thing we do is start worrying about it. We take to worrying about it. We worry and fret until all of our peace of mind is gone. We worry about it until the joy of the Lord is completely sucked out of our heart. We worry and fret until our spiritual strength and our confidence in God is evaporated, and we begin to walk in fear instead of walking in faith. We worry about it until we toss and turn upon our bed at night and cannot sleep. Can I tell you something this morning? Don't take your burden to a place called worry. I said here a while back when I was preaching about worry that worry is like a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but you ain't going nowhere. Hello? Amen. Worry is a futile exercise. The Bible said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Philippians 4, 6 in the God's Word translation says it this way, never worry about anything. Hello? Never worry about anything. How many of you never worry about anything? Well, that's what we are instructed to do. Never worry about anything, but in every situation, let God know what you need in prayer and requests. Amen. With thanksgiving. Amen. John chapter 14 and verse number 1, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I came to tell somebody this morning that if you are going through trials and tests and tribulation, don't take your burden to a place called worry. Take it to the throne of the living God. Amen. And let God, amen, take control of the situation. We often take our burdens to our friends. And I maybe know friends mean well, but friends may not always have the answer. But we have a tendency when we are going through something to run to this one. And if we don't like the answer we get there, run to another one. Hello? This is what Job said about his friends when he took his burden to his friends. Job ended up telling his buddies that they were, and I quote, they were physicians of no value. Hello? What Job was saying, I took my burden to my friends and they couldn't help me. They were physicians that had no answer. Amen. They wanted to help, but they had no ability to help. The problem with friends sometimes is they do not have an answer. And the problem with friends sometimes that they will allow you to wallow in self-pity and tell you that you have a right to do so. Hello? Friends may sympathize with you. Friends may try to encourage you. But friends do not have the answer for your burdens. Take it to the Lord. Look what the scripture says and notice the invitation. Jesus says, come. Come unto me. Come. How many of you know that is a beautiful invitation to come to the throne room of God? It's one thing to show up at somebody's doorstep unannounced and uninvited, but it's a whole nother ball game when they have invited you and told you to come. Hello? God says to us, come. What I'm saying is that Jesus tells us that the throne room of heaven, the door is thrown open wide, and we have a divine invitation to bring our burdens unto the throne room of God. If you find yourself surrounded by trouble and surrounded by the trials of this life, Jesus, the Son of God, gives you and I a personal invitation to come boldly before
before the throne of grace and find grace and mercy to help in our time of need. If you're here this morning and you're going through the trial of your life, good news, amen, help is available. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16. God says to us, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace and find grace and help in our time of need. How many of you know this morning that our Father is concerned about our needs? He is concerned about our needs. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 and verse number 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Psalms 100 and verse 3 says, know ye not the Lord, he is God, and it is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are the people of God. We are his people, and we are the sheep of his pasture. Wow, what a term. We are the sheep of his pasture. Amen. One of the most beautiful psalms. David shows us what being a sheep of the pasture, being a sheep in the pasture of the Lord looks like. David says in Psalms chapter 23, beginning with verse 1, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Amen. How many of you know this morning that the Lord is your shepherd? David goes on to say, he makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. And I could go into a whole bunch of things this morning just reading that psalm, but he goes on to say, he restores my soul, and he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, O God, are with me, and your rod and your staff comfort me. He goes on to say, he prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. He anoints our head with oil, and he said, my cup runs over. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That's what being a sheep of his pasture looks like. How many of you have ever read that little poem, you know, I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed? You ever read that? Google it, sister. Sister Carol went, no, I don't think so. Google it. It'll bless you. Not right away. Yeah. Every time I read that poem, it makes me think of my grandmother. My grandmother, my grandfather made their coffee on the stove in one of those old percolator things. And I am telling you, when you poured it, it would almost stand up between the cup and the pot. It was stout. But I mean, it was scalding hot. And my grandmother would pour her a cup, and then she would take her cup and she would spill a little bit out of the cup into the saucer. And then she drank out of the saucer. Yeah? Some of you going, yep, I know what you're talking about. Amen. Well, when you read the 23rd Psalm, I mean, it just reminds me of drinking from my saucer because my cup can't hold anymore. Surely my cup runs over, and goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Hallelujah. So the first thing that I believe that the text teaches us is that when we are burdened down with cares of this life and trials and tribulation, we have a place. He says, come, come. We have an invitation. We have a place where we can go to carry our needs to the Lord. The second thing that the Spirit speaks to my heart about this text, the second thing that I believe that the text teaches, is that we need to take our burdens and our troubles to the right person. Jesus said, "Come to me. Come unto me, all ye that are burdened and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This morning, understand that there is one that cares for you and I. Psalms 55 and verse 22, the Bible says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He will never suffer the foot of the righteous to be moved." 1 Peter 5 and 7 declares, "Cast all of your care upon him, because he cares for you." Not some of your cares, but all of your cares. He cares for you. Let me just share with you this morning that Jesus has walked through all of the things that you are going through. He knows what it feels to be lonely. He knows what it feels to be in need. He knows what it feels to go through difficult times. He knows what death, and he knows what it feels like to be hated and despised and loved and accepted and rejected. Amen. I'm here to tell you, the Bible said in Hebrews 4 and 15, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Amen. God's word translation says it this way: we have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. Don't think for a moment this morning that he doesn't understand. He does understand. He knows how you feel when you feel discouraged. He knows how you feel when you've been rejected. He knows how you feel when you are burdened in your heart and in your spirit. And he knows how you feel when the enemy comes against you every turn and every time that you turn around. But I came to tell you, take your burden to the Lord, and he will sustain you. Take it to the right place and take it to the right person. Take it to the right place and take it to the right person. Number three, the third thing that I believe the text teaches us, is that we need to trust his provision. Oh, now that's a whole nother message. But when we go to him, we go to the throne, we take our need to him, we cast our care upon him, then we need to trust that he has the right provision. How many of you have found that the Lord does not always answer your prayer the way that you think he should? And then over the long haul, you go, you know what? It worked out. But at the time, you're like, now, wait a minute, Lord. That ain't how I prayed. Now, this is what I prayed for. This is what you were supposed to do. What I'm saying this morning is, when you take it to the throne, you take it to the right place, you take it to the right person, then you need to trust that he knows what the right provision is. And sometimes that looks differently than what you thought it should. Sometimes that looks differently than what you thought it should. Sometimes he will completely remove the burden. It's true, I've had things in my life that came up and God just simply undertook and just wiped it off the map, just took it out of the way. There are times when he will completely remove the burden. Let me give you a biblical example, 1 Kings chapter 17. Here's a little widow woman that is in the midst of a famine. She is gathering sticks and she is going to bake a small cake. Her and her son are going to eat of that cake, and then she plans for them to die. That's it. Ain't nothing else to eat. A prophet comes along and he says, "Hey, if you'll bake me a little cake before you bake something for you and your son, as the Lord lives,
The oil in the cruse and the meal in the barrel will not go dry until the famine is over and the Lord sends rain upon the earth. Now I'm telling you, this little woman had a problem. She had an insurmountable situation. Can you say amen? But she obeyed the man of God. And you know what God did? He totally took that circumstance away. She obeyed the man of God. He ate his little cake. They ate their little cake. And when they went back to the meal barrel, there was more meal. And when they went back to the oil, he meant there was more oil. And they lived on it for 3.5 years. When you hear me say that, you know, I got a God that can put meal in my barrel and oil in my cruise, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a God that knows how to meet my need. Hallelujah. And God totally, completely wiped out her circumstance. One minute she's baking a cake for her and her son and planning to die, and the next minute she is sustained and her need is met for the entire course of the famine. So there are times that God will completely eradicate and erase the burden. He takes it out of the way. And then there are times that the Lord will just simply relieve the burden. Let me put it another way. He will lighten the load. How many of you remember reading about Ruth? Ruth lost her husband, lost everything. Her and Naomi come back to the land of promise. And Ruth is out in the field, trying to gather enough food for her and Naomi to survive on. And God looked down upon her and saw her need, and God said, I'm going to send you a Boaz. I'm going to lighten your load. And one day Boaz saw Ruth out in the field, said, who is that? They said, that's Ruth. And he said, hey, here's what I want you to do. While you're gleaning the field, you leave some stuff behind so that she can pick it up. You leave some handfuls on purpose. I'm going to lighten her load. I'm going to make her burden a little bit lighter. Let me tell you, sometimes God doesn't remove the burden, but he'll come along and lighten the load. Hallelujah. And then there are some times that God doesn't change the burden, but he changes us. Oh, sometimes he completely removes the burden. Sometimes he lightens the burden. And sometimes he just leaves the burden right where it is. But he works on us. You have a biblical precedent for that. The Apostle Paul said, I had a thorn in the flesh, and 3 times I prayed and I said, God, remove this thing. And God said, no, my grace is sufficient for thee. 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. My God, I'm not going to take away the load. I'm not going to lighten the load. I'm going to change you instead. I'm going to help you to understand that my grace is completely and perfectly, amen, perfected in your weakness. Amen. I will take a weak vessel. I will take a flawed vessel, and I'll use it for my glory. And you'll recognize that it wasn't anything that you did, but it was everything that I did with you. Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. What that really means in layman's terms is I will gladly carry my burden.
Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. What Paul was saying is, I prayed three times for God to move the thing, lighten the thing. And God said, no, I'm not going to do either one of those things. I'm just going to change you and help you to understand that my grace is sufficient and that my power works through your weakness. And when you are weak, I am strong. And Paul said, therefore, I will gladly carry the burden that God wants me to carry so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And what I'm saying this morning is, when we take it to the right place and we take it to the right person, then we have to trust that He's given us the right provision. How many of you know the Bible said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, and we know, everybody say we know, that all things work together for good. Amen. Not some things, not just the good stuff, but all things work, even the stuff that challenges us. Even the stuff that makes us realize we need to either give up or get up. Even the stuff that yanks us out of our little stagecoach and says you're about to get left behind if you don't follow hard after God. You hear what I'm saying this morning? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That's you. That's me. We need to take it to the right place, take it to the right person, and then trust in the hand of the Lord. What is troubling you this morning? What is troubling your spirit this morning? What is challenging your heart? Bring it to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord. Take it to the throne. Trust in His provision. He knows how to handle what's troubling you. He knows how to handle what's troubling you. He said, I'll never leave you and I will never forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. You may feel like you have been forsaken. You have not. God's just saying, look, you need to either give up or get up. Bring it to me and trust in my provision. The first thing that the text speaks is we need to take it to the right place, take it to the right person, and trust in His provision for our burdens. And when we approach Him in that manner, when we approach Him in that manner, we are being very childlike. And isn't that what He asks us to do, to come to Him with a childlike faith? I mean, you know, when your children come to you with a need and they explain to you that need and they've come to the right place, they come to the right person, they trust that you are going to handle it sufficiently for their needs. You may handle it a different way than what they wanted, but you will make sure that they're taken care of. Hello? Take your burden this morning to the right place, the right person, and trust in His provision. Bow your heads all over the building this morning, if you will, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, in the mighty and awesome name of Jesus, Lord, I thank You for Your anointing. I thank You for the presence of the Holy Spirit that I felt as I delivered Your word. And now I pray, Father God, that You will take it to the hearts of these that are here and those that will listen by way of the internet. Speak to their heart. Let them know that they have a place where they can go Let them know that they have a person, a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Let them know that they can trust in your answers because you are working everything out for our benefit, for our good. Speak to us now, I ask, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Are you here this morning and you would be willing to just slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, I needed to hear this message today. Yes, 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 yes. I need it. Yes, God sees your hand. Yes, yes, yes. Hands being lifted all over the building. Be encouraged. I want you to leave this morning being encouraged. Your burden may be heavy, but Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. You don't have to leave this morning like you came. Take it to the Lord. Take it to the throne. Trust in his divine provision. Stand to your feet all over the building. Hands have been lifted. Let me pray with those while they play. Let me pray with those that lifted their hands. Jesus, my Father, you saw every hand that was lifted in this house. I don't know the circumstances. I don't know the trials. I don't know the weight of the burden that they carry, but I do know that if they will yoke up with you today, that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Lord, I know if they will turn that over to you and cast all of that care upon you this morning and trust in your provision, that you'll restore their joy and restore their strength and restore their peace. Lift them up. And Lord, I pray right now in the mighty and awesome name of Jesus that those that lifted their hand, they will sense the anointing of the Holy Spirit breaking chains of bondage and setting captives free and bringing restoration and, Lord, bringing provision on behalf of those who are weary today. In the name of the Lord, we ask. In the name of the Lord, we ask. And Lord, I trust you for that provision now. And we give you thanks. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name.